Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A shooting should not happen here in Butler Township. Four people should not have been killed in our neighborhoods. But that's what happened to 82-year-old Clyde Knox, 78-year-old Eva Knox, 41-year-old Sarah Anderson, and 15-year-old Kyla Anderson. For many people, this is just another tragic act of violence. In fact, they may see it as yesterday's news, because now they've moved on to the mass shooting in Cincinnati that just happened this morning. For other people, it's sad, but it comes with a sigh of relief, because at least it didn't happen in my neighborhood. At least there wasn't a gunman living down the street in my part of the town. But for others, these four people were their family members and friends and neighbors, people they loved. This is real, folks. And sure, we're used to hearing about shootings like this in other places, but not here. Not for us. The Vandalia-Butler area is supposed to be a safe place to live. But it happened here. And it hurts. And let's be honest, it might be hard to trust God right now. We want to know why this happened. We want to know where God was in the midst of it. We want to have answers. But sometimes there are no answers. Sometimes there is no why. Yes, maybe now that the shooter has been taken into custody by police in Kansas, maybe we'll find out his motive. Or maybe we won't. But in either case, sin, death, and evil have made their presence known. And we feel lonely and sad and afraid. And on this day, when we deal with all of these emotions, it seems appropriate to me that we hear about Abram questioning God too. Before we look at our first reading, though, we need to back up and see how Abram's story starts. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abram to follow him. Now, this is the first time Abram appears on the scene. So we don't know anything about his backstory or why God called him instead of someone else. What we do know is that Abram is 75 years old and God makes a promise to him. God said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and I will bless you. And make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abram then drops everything and follows. There's no protest, there's no questioning, there's no doubt, he just goes. Taking his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, they set out. They had some trouble in Egypt, but then they got very wealthy. Abram and Lot ended up separating because the land just couldn't support both of them and all their wealth. Lot headed over to Sodom, eventually got captured, and Abram then defeated a whole bunch of kings to rescue him. Then we get today's reading, which begins by saying, "After these things." Right? So after all this stuff has happened, God appeared to Abram and said, "Do not be afraid, Abram." Now that's odd. Why would Abram be afraid? His life's going pretty well, isn't it? There's no one in his neighborhood with a gun who's shooting people. He hasn't had to deal with a tragedy like this. He's following God. He has his wife. He's become wealthy. He just rescued his nephew. Things are going pretty well for Abram. But deep down, though, Abram is afraid. He's afraid that God is not going to follow through on God's promise. Remember, God promised Abram that he would be the father of a great nation. But he and Sarai still don't have even one child yet. He was 75 years old when God called him, and even older now. Maybe when Abram and Sarai were younger, they tried to have kids and it just didn't work. Sometimes it's like that for couples. So Abram kind of thinks that ship has sailed. He thinks God's promise sounds good, but it also sounds too good to be true. So after some more time of not having any child, he finally says to God, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Abram really wants God's promise to be true. But right now, in this moment, it does not seem that way. Abram is afraid because his life experience is telling him that what God says is a big lie. Chances are pretty good they'll never have a baby, right? Maybe you know this feeling. Maybe you come here week after week, and you hear the good news of God's promises to us, and it sounds really great. But then your life experience tells you that what's real are things like shootings in our own community. How can God's promises be true when something like this happens? Abram probably thought that God's word just sounded empty. And sometimes we might think that too. Life is full of tragedy and disappointment and pain. So it's no wonder why some people give up on God. What God says can just sound ridiculous. Right? This is where Abram was, my friends. But let me be clear. Abram is not ungrateful. He doesn't have a poor attitude. He's not feeling entitled. No, he's just plain frustrated. He's frustrated that life has not gone the way he thought it would go. He's frustrated that he hasn't seen a clear sign of God's involvement in the world. He's frustrated because this wonderful news from God just doesn't seem real. His life tells him that he and Sarai are too old to have kids, let alone be the ancestors of a multitude of people. So basically, he's dealing with the struggle between trusting God's promises and trusting his own experiences. And if we're honest, sometimes we trust our experiences more than we trust God to. And yes, it's really easy for us to jump ahead in this story, to go to the birth of Isaac and the line that stretches all the way us today. It's easy for us to take comfort in the fact that God's promise was fulfilled. But now, in this scene, in this moment for Abram, none of that has happened. And maybe, right now, in this moment for you, it hasn't happened either. Right? We're still trying to process what happened last Friday. And we might be wondering if we can trust God or any of the promises we've been given. Like, maybe when you moved to the Vandalia-Butler area, you were given the promise of a safe neighborhood to live in. And you felt pretty comfortable here. But now you wonder if that promise is even real. And you're dealing with a struggle between trusting promises and trusting your feelings. But notice what else happened for Abram. In the midst of his struggle to trust God, God did something for him. God took him outside and showed him the stars. Now, most of the time when we think of this moment of stargazing, we think about God telling Abram that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, which is true. But in that moment, Abram still doesn't have one child yet. He is still frustrated at God. So we can think of this stargazing moment in another way, too. When God shows Abram all those stars, it's sort of like God is saying this to him. Abram, I set these stars in the sky. I make planets move and galaxies spin. I set so many beautiful things in motion that you don't even know about yet. And since I care for planets and galaxies and the vast cosmos, that means I also care for you. I know every one of these stars in the sky, and I also know you. Do you think I care only about the big picture things and not what's happening in your life? No. I called you, Abram. I initiated this relationship with you. I care about you. I know your frustrations and your fears and your doubts. I know that life hasn't followed the roadmap you've made. I know you've been through some hard times. But trust me, Abram, I am involved in the spin of every galaxy, the glow of every star, and I am involved in every moment of your life. The night is dark, Abram, I know. But in the darkness, I still make lights shine. Even in the darkness, I still know what I'm doing. Even in the darkness, I am here for you. And I care deeply for you. You can trust me, Abram. I've got you. I'm right here with you. Today, we could look up at the stars too. But probably a better image for us is the cross. All right, think about it. In that moment when Jesus died, it looked like life was completely messed up. A lot of people wondered, where is God in this? God had promised the Messiah, and yet this Messiah dies in a tragic act of violence. It was an incredibly dark time. It looked like nothing was going according to plan. But in that moment, God took death and turned it into life. God took an execution machine and turned it into a symbol of hope. God took suffering and turned it into resurrection. God was in that moment. God was on that cross. And God was still in control. In those moments when you are like Abram, and you wonder if God is faithful, look to the cross. Look to the cross, because faith is not about how you feel. It's not about what your life experience tells you. It's not about what's going on in the world. No, faith is about how God is true and reliable and trustworthy, no matter what. Faith is about how God always brings resurrection. Faith is about how God's promises can indeed be trusted. Even though sin, death, and evil are real, God is real too. Nothing, no pain, no tragedy, not even death, can separate you from God's love for you. Nothing can negate God's promises for you. As the prophet Isaiah said, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And I know in this moment it might still be hard to trust that. I get it. But remember, if God can indeed make doubting Abram into Father Abraham, if God can indeed bring Christ out of the grave, if God can continue to bring new life, then that means God is still at work in the world today. In our world, in our neighborhoods, and in our hearts. When in doubt, look at the cross, my friend, and see the faithfulness of God. In the name of the one who is God's faithfulness in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.